live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth or listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you a very happy Monday on this fourth day of May 2026. May the fourth be with you. And I am thrilled to have three very dear friends on the program today to celebrate a very important anniversary of proclaiming the doctrines of sovereign grace on Long Island, the 30th anniversary, in fact, of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island. And I have joining me today the three pastors of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, Pastor Rich Jensen, Pastor Christopher McDowell, and Pastor Anthony Uvinio. And first of all, let me greet them one by one. Rich Jensen, it's a joy to have you back on the program.
Always a pleasure to see you, be with you, Chris.
And Pastor Chris McDowell, it's great to have you also joining me today. Are you there, Chris? And Chris is frozen. Okay, and Pastor Anthony, are you there? And Pastor Anthony is frozen. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I thought you were frozen, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was frozen.
Well, I am Calvinist.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Again, the frozen chosen.
Yes. First of all, Pastor Rich Jensen, tell us something about Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island.
Well, we're celebrating 30 years. And that's truly something. I can honestly say that as I look back and see that it was 30 years ago that we planted this church, it's like a breath, blink of an eye. It's gone that quickly.
Yes, and you are a confessional Reformed Baptist church holding to the 1689 London Baptist Confession, correct?
That is correct.
And I have known you even before you were pastoring and even before you planted Hope Reformed Baptist Church. In fact, I don't know if you remember, I was at your ordination examination, and I remember full well my dispensationalist friend Ron Glass giving you a hard time about your postmillennial position. I can remember also you approaching Conrad Mbewe at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, where he was speaking for the first time in the United States, his first American speaking engagement. And I remember you asking him to meet with you because you were just in the planning stages, I believe, of Hope Reformed Baptist Church. Tell us about how that even came about.
Well, we had a relationship with Grace Reformed Baptist Church, where Conrad was speaking. And I was invited by Mike Gaidosh to bring the youth down. And it just so happened to coincide with me leaving the ministry that I was part of and the thoughts of planting a church. And so when Mike introduced me to Conrad, we had a little chat, and we did meet with him later on in that weekend and discuss, you know, some of the pitfalls and some of the things we should look for as we plant a church.
And you're pretty much a rare church on Long Island. From what I understand, and I could be forgetting somebody, you're only one of two confessionally Reformed Baptist churches on Long Island, am I right?
As far as I know, I think there are some other churches that are considering the 1689 becoming confessional, but right now it's only us and Grace Reformed Baptist, I think, that actually used the 1689 as our confession.
Yes, and I do know that a church in Woodhaven, New York, which is not exactly on Long Island, Nassau or Suffolk County, but they have not long ago, I believe, embraced the 1689 as well, Grace Baptist Church.
Yeah, they would be in Queens. That's almost like another country.
Right, even though technically Queens is on Long Island. You don't cross a bridge to get there. And Chris McDowell, you were the second pastor to be appointed at Hope Reformed Baptist Church. Tell us about when you started going there, how you became aware of the church, and so on.
We were actually on a theological journey, my wife and I, and so we were looking for a church that was more on the same page of us, in terms of vision for how the family should function in the church and minister and be ministered to. And we were also, we had come to the doctrines of grace, and we were right on the cusp of full Reformed theology, and coming to Hope helped to seal that and just get us firmly grounded. So that was back in 2013 that we first arrived at Hope in the fall, and it's just been a blessing ever since.
And how long after that did you become appointed as a pastor there?
A couple months, I think it was. I hope they got that was a joke.
If not, it'll only be.
We lost Rich right in the middle of a joke there. For some reason, we're having difficulties today with the live streaming.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I see you freeze it sometimes, but I can hear you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So tell us about, again, since you were cut off there, really, how long was it before you became pastor?
2019, I was installed as an elder.
So that was 6 years.
We got there about 6 years. 2013, we started attending. We became members probably in 2014. And then not long after that, Pastor Jensen started a mentoring group for men who were interested in teaching and preaching and possibly ministry in the future. And so that's, you know, we talked about mentoring the last time we were on the show. And that's what actually introduced me to the idea of even possibly becoming an office bearer and actually teaching and preaching. It wasn't something I had officially planned on. And saw that I had some ability in it and was able to grow in that. And that was all from Pastor Jensen starting that group. So in 2018, I was installed as a deacon, and then the following year, they called me to the eldership.
And Anthony Uvinio, I'd known you years before you even became a member of Hope Reformed Baptist Church.
And, that's right.
And I don't believe that you had committed to the doctrines of grace when I first became aware of you. Tell us about your journey and how you eventually wound up as one of the elders.
Yeah, so I came to faith in a kind of charismatic congregation and attended that church for 11 years. And probably in the second or third year, I came to an understanding of Calvinism, embraced it, and was cage stage for a little while. But they loved me through it. They really did. And I'm grateful to them because they did treat me with grace. But as things progressed and, you know, I grew in those doctrines more and more, I wanted to be in a place that we could actually talk about election and predestination and those type of things. So providentially, we were going to homeschool my daughter, and I heard a podcast about classical Christian schooling. So I looked it up online, and it was only two classical Christian schools on Long Island. The first one I called was closed, and the second one I called was Grace Christian Academy, where Pastor Rich Jensen had happened to be the headmaster. At the same point in time, good friends of my wife were attending Hope Reformed Baptist Church and praying that we would eventually go there. So as we send our daughter to the school, and Pastor Jensen graciously agreed to pick her up and drop her off almost every day, it was amazing to me. I became familiar with Pastor Jensen. I started attending the men's breakfasts, and then it started to be clear to me that it was time to leave the other church and go to Hope. And I started attending there in 2015. And then it was 2020 that I was installed as an elder at the church, and just have been blessed by Pastor Jensen and Pastor Chris and just the whole congregation. It was a completely different paradigm than what I was used to.
And Pastor Rich Jensen, I know that you, as I even hinted at before, having attended your ordination exam, you were a post-millennialist before you even founded Hope Reformed Baptist Church. And you are amongst a very small minority of post-millennialists in the Reformed Baptist movement. How easy or difficult is that for you to be such a tiny minority?
Firstly, being Reformed puts us already in a minority.
So, you know, that's right.
But I haven't found any issues with that at all. In fact, most of the pastors that I have fellowshiped with are amillennial, and it's never been an issue. We have some good spirited discussions, you know, from time to time. That only helps you to stand firmer in your convictions and to study, make sure that you have all your ducks in a row. So, but I would say that I think from when I first came to post-millennialism and to where I see it now, there's a lot more people who are embracing post-millennialism.
Tell us about why the doctrines of sovereign grace are so important. Why, even though you do have biblical fellowship in at certain levels with not only pastors but congregations that are not committed to these 5 points of Calvinism, you still nonetheless hold these teachings as very, very important, and you believe that they do have a tremendous impact on every area of the Christian life, and not only what we believe, but how we worship, how we evangelize, how we react to the different problems and sins of this world. Tell us more about why the Reformed in your name, Hope Reformed Baptist, is so important.
Well, yeah, because it establishes what your worldview is. To have a truly biblical worldview, you have to understand the sovereignty of God, the security of your salvation, you know, the total depravity of your soul. Why does God have to elect you? Why does he have to choose you? Why can't you choose yourself? And you start laying it all out, and it's only the Reformed Calvinistic understanding that gives you that whole worldview, and that affects the way you worship, even. So it affects every aspect of your life, how you live your life, how do you view tragedy, how do you view suffering, how do you view good times, how do you view money, how about education, how about your home. That's all affected by your worldview, and right at the core of that is the doctrines of grace.
Mm-hmm. And Pastor Chris McDowell, you have already said that you were on a theological journey that eventually, by God's sovereign providence, landed you firmly in the Reformed Baptist camp, and eventually an elder of a Reformed Baptist church. How has that impacted your own life, how you evangelize, how you teach the scriptures, and so on?
Well, I mean, the church I was part of previously, where I actually came to the doctrine of grace, it came through a discipleship group by the associate pastor. And so that was sort of the first theological domino to fall, I guess to say. I started re-examining things that I had just grown up with, traditions I had been handed that I took for granted as just, it's just true, and you don't need to examine it too hard. And so coming to that understanding helped me to look with fresh eyes at the scriptures. Also, I had been previously very involved in youth ministry, and I came to have a different understanding of that for a number of reasons. But I saw a tendency, even though the church I was part of was a good church, great people. They held the gospel out. You know, they understood that to be central. It was rather eclectic, though. It was non-denominational, and you had everywhere from people who had a slightly charismatic bent to it to even somewhat fully Reformed all came mm-hmm. together and worshiped. But I found at times with how we approached the youth, where, you know, we would deny, you know, the seeker-friendly consumerist mindset, and yet I felt we were doing that with our upcoming generation, constantly separating them out, constantly trying to put things on their level and trying to reach them and make the faith and the scriptures as fun, you know, as possible. And so we would give them their own music and their own games and their own snacks and all the stuff in a watered-down version. Not getting into some of the deeper things because it was sort of controversial. You couldn't teach the whole counsel of God because you didn't know where everyone was. And I found that to be problematic because you couldn't get to the meat and the substance of things. And also, it's one of those things where I feel like we're not fully trusting God in his sovereignty, in the fact that it's the Holy Spirit that has to regenerate that believer to make them a believer. But if we're thinking that, well, it's somewhat dependent on us and how well we can approach them with it, I think it compromises the message at times. And so having an understanding of the sovereignty of God in all things, including salvation, but as Pastor Jensen said, sufferings, you know, you have a sort of perspective as well as God angry at me, well, if I had done things differently, whatever. And there's just, it opens up a can of worms with so many theological problems and doubting on the part of the believer if they're not grounded in the truth of God's word and his sovereignty.
And Pastor Anthony Uvini, you not only were not fully Reformed before coming to Hope Reformed Baptist Church, in your understanding of theology, but you were also at one point, and perhaps still are, heavily involved in apologetics. How has coming to fully embrace the Reformed faith impacted the apologetic realm?
Yeah, great question. So obviously I was coming from an evidentialist point of view.
and seeking to give unbelievers more evidence for the existence of God, as if God didn't give them enough evidence already. So I had embraced the doctrine of total depravity, and in listening to so many different presuppositionalists online and Pastor Jensen and Pastor Chris, it was just the application of total depravity to the person's mind to recognize that there's no more evidence that we're going to give them that God hasn't given them already that's going to persuade them. So our job is not necessarily, it's not that we shy away from the evidence, but we're speaking to dead men. So our job is to shut the mouth of the unbeliever, to proclaim the gospel and pray that the Spirit would give them eyes to see and ears to hear. The deadness of man in sin and his depravity is the key to the whole realm of apologetics. You're not going to convince somebody that God exists because they know God exists already. That's what the scripture says. So that was a big shift in, you know, in my understanding. And then to start listening to guys like Greg Bahnsen and now Eli Ayala, who's also who moved off of Long Island, but is a great presuppositionalist apologist, to see it from that perspective and to see the sovereignty of God in all things, in opening the eyes of the blind, it was just a paradigm shift for me, and I'll never go back. And obviously, you know, the big thing that I see a lot of churches in evangelical America talking about is, you know, the power of man, how man is powerful, how he can do this, how he can do that. Whereas when I read the scriptures, all I'm hearing about is what man cannot do. Man cannot bear good fruit. Man cannot come to Jesus. Man cannot confess Jesus as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So I keep hearing about this big, you know, big human being that's able to do all these things. And when I read the scripture, I see the exact opposite. The big one in this conversation is God. And I looked up the word God and try and try to see those two words in the same sentence. And God never tries anything.
Right.
The only thing he tries is men's hearts, right? So God, you know what God does? Whatever he pleases in the heavens and the earth and beneath the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what have you done? The scripture presents a very big sovereign God and a very small impotent man. And it's our job to proclaim the gospel, the good news, that God can save you if you turn to him. So seeing the sovereignty of God and the deadness of man and sin and his weakness and inability was just one of the things that sets us apart from all of the other churches that don't teach that.
Yeah, that concept of God trying to do things comes up a lot in social media when you are grappling with anti-Calvinists. And it's amazing how they really, it doesn't seem that they have thought through that whole concept. And I had to tell one of these anti-Calvinist individuals in social media, so your God fails more often than he succeeds in accomplishing his will. Because he, according to you, he is trying over and over again, constantly trying every day, every moment of the day, to stop evil from happening, but he's failing. Isn't that a monstrous diminishment of who God is? And I'll let Pastor Rich Jensen pick up from there. Isn't that, it's really making God less of a God than the false gods of the Romans, Greeks, and the Nordics. Am I right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As soon as you start putting the onus on man, you're taking it away from God. And that's exactly what we see. In fact, one of the, it is providentially, this has come up right at this point. One of the reasons that we formed Hope Reformed Baptist Church and why we planted it was, as I looked around, I grew up in evangelical churches. And as I looked around, the message was doom and gloom. Now, remember, I mean, I'm 80 years old. I grew up, I'm a child of the 50s and the 60s. And The main message coming out of evangelical pulpits was doom and gloom. Pray that God's coming back, that Jesus is coming back soon, because things are getting bad out here, you know. And no sense in doing anything extra. Just save as many people as you can, you know. And that's the way it would be presented. And then as you read the scriptures, that's not read the just flip to the end. We win, you know. And so that's how we got our name. I said, what the world needs is hope. Mm. And in fact, we're celebrating our 30th and calling it 30 years of hope. That's the message of scripture, is hope.
Yes. And one of the things that, and I say this as an amillennialist myself, but I
will forgive you.
I have always, from my earliest days of salvation, had close friendships with postmillennialists. And one of the things that amillennialists and premillennialists and pre-tribulationalists get baffled by is the postmillennial idea of eventually the earth being Christianized and governed by biblical law and so on. When they look at their television sets and their computer screens and their newspapers and magazines, to a less degree these days, but they see how satanic, overtly satanic things are becoming in a more palpable way, in a more, it seems, increased way. The fact that we are now in a country that marries men to men and women to women, that has legalized, and at least in certain areas of this country, the sexual mutilation of children through surgical and pharmaceutical means under the guise of changing their gender. And these things that horrify people, they can't imagine that a postmillennial hope can be true. But what they fail to recognize, I know that postmillennials do not believe that it is just a steady, progressive, upward arrow where things never dip into the realm of darkness and just keep climbing into a higher level of holiness. That's not what postmillennials believe, is it?
No, it's not. Not at all. We're called to a life of trouble. And Jesus warned that. He said, don't be so quick to follow me. Count the cost. Mm. Know what you're getting into, which flies in the face of modern evangelism. You know, come, you know, you want your best life now, you know, and that type of theology. Christ says, come and follow me. He met Paul on the road to Damascus. And what does he tell Paul? You're in for it. You're going to follow me, and you're going to have a lot of trouble no matter where you go. So you're filled for a life of suffering. That's the evangelism. People ask me, you know, how can you read the newspaper and watch the TV and still be postmillennial? Well, if that's all I'm reading, I'm not going to be postmillennial. I'm going to be depressed. You know how you know where I get my postmillennialism? Postmillennialism from? I read the Bible. That's the Bible's a postmillennial book.
Mm-hmm. And when we return from our first commercial break, we're going to continue on the same thread, but we're also going to have you men discuss highlights of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in the 30 years that you've been proclaiming the doctrines of sovereign grace. Obviously, only Rich has been there for 30 years since he planted the church. But also, and of course, we wouldn't want you to reveal details and people's names, but some of the trials that the church has experienced and how you achieve victory over some of these things. And we're going to be right back after these messages from the sponsors. If you have a question for any of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, just send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Welcome back, and I just want you to mark down on your calendars, folks, an interview that I will be having next week, on Tuesday of next week, with my pastor, Simon Omani. And Simon Omani is no stranger to Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island. He has been a visiting preacher there at least a number of years ago. Simon is going to be speaking on why we use fermented wine at the Lord's Supper and why we observe the Lord's Supper weekly. That's Tuesday, May 12th. So mark your calendars on that date. And we are going to be having a wonderful time discussing the Lord's Supper. And I know that Hope Reformed Baptist Church has that position of using fermented wine in the Lord's Supper and observing it weekly as well. Care to comment, Pastor Rich Jensen?
Yeah, we came to that conclusion from a study of the scriptures a number of years ago, and it's been a real blessing to know that we're following the Lord's commands, that, you know, even down to the smallest of the details.
Well, before I go to any listener questions, I'd like you to highlight some of the most memorable and glorious events that came about as pastor of Hope Reformed Baptist Church. And then we could even go through some of the trials that the Lord has given you victory over. And obviously you only, as far as the trials are concerned, just to reveal any kind of information that you see fit for public consumption. But we'll start with you, Pastor Rich, since you've obviously been there since the beginning, being the planter of this church.
Well, we've just seen the Lord's hand in so many ways. I don't have any numbers, but I think of how many times we've had baptisms, you know, 5-6 people at a time, who have professed faith, you know, demonstrated it in their daily lives and a desire to be obedient in the waters of baptism. That's when we have those baptisms, and we do our baptism Sunday morning during the worship service. And it's just such a blessing. It's not only spiritually uplifting, but I mean, it's one of the most joyous times when you hear the testimonies of these, some young people and some not so young people who the Lord has saved, and hearing the story of how they were saved and, you know, how their desire is to follow Christ. I would say for me, that's one of the highlights of the 30 years. And again, this 30 years it's gone so fast. It's hard for me to believe that we're celebrating 30 years.
Amen. And Pastor Chris, do you have any highlights that you care to mention?
For us, when we first came to Hope, it was at a time where the church was pretty small. We had the Sunday school hour, then they had the worship service. And then they would have like a fellowship lunch. And then often after that, like an afternoon Bible study. Because of being a church plant, people were coming from all over the place. And that's why they chose to do it that way, as opposed to, I think they initially had an evening service and felt like this was a better way to do it. And at first, when we first got there, we're like, man, they're there all day. And now we're like, we're here all day. It's such a blessing. It's such an encouragement because it's an opportunity to not just come and worship with the saints, but to really get to know one another, breaking bread and have that time of fellowship. So that was a blessing. But I know when we first got there, there were three rectangular tables. And the men were sort of at one, and the women were at another, and the children were at another. And it wasn't forced segregation. That's sort of the way it fell out. But the men would all be around, Bibles open, talking about the sermon, talking about sermons or podcasts that were theological, that they had listened to during the week. And I just remember when my dad had gotten saved, around the time I was born, he would tell me years later that this church that he went to at first, all they wanted to talk about was the scriptures. All they wanted to talk about was the Lord. And he had never quite seen a church like that since then. And I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about now, because that's what they're all about over here. And so that was such an encouragement, and that was such a time of growth, a time of really getting to know some brothers in Christ and be encouraged in the faith and to go deeper. The mentoring group was another example of that, a bunch of guys coming together to study. That was a huge encouragement for me. We were also a homeschooling family that when we came to Hope, we found a lot of the families were homeschooling. And part of the things they would pray for, one of the things that they would pray for over the pulpit, but on our Wednesday night study, was praying for the homeschooling families. And that still resonates with my wife in particular. I remember her hearing that for the first time and feeling so encouraged, knowing that it's such a journey, and it can be so difficult at times. And to know that they were being prayed for by the church was just had a huge impact. So, yeah, some of the best friends I have been here at Hope, relationships that have flourished. Talking about the trials, there's been a couple that I can think of that I can't get into detail. But seeing how biblical the church was, I remember, we pray for those who have been either excommunicated or have left and they're sort of under discipline and praying for their repentance. And while I was there, we have had an excommunication. But before we had that, we had someone who had been excommunicated who came back and repented and joined the church again. And that was such a blessing to see. This is what's meant to happen. The purpose of church discipline is not punitive in nature. It's meant to show them your need is so great. You're out of step with the body, which is a huge danger, that you're out of step with Christ, who's the head of the body. And to see someone actually come back and repent and join and be embraced was such a blessing. To see the biblical, glorious result of that church discipline coming to fruition. And it was sad to see an excommunication years later, but recognize this is what we must do for that soul and for the body in general, to know that sin is serious and we have to take it seriously. So seeing that the church handled it biblically, which a lot of churches really shy away from discipline. They feel like it's not their place. They feel like it's not loving. They just kind of set aside the scriptures when it comes to this important issue. And then another biblical thing that I hadn't seen at any other church that I was part of was how Pastor Jensen came into the ministry, where the church he was part of originally called him to that, where normally it's, get the nominating committee, get the resumes, have him preach once or twice and a meet and greet with the family over, coffee and snacks or something. Here is someone that they could see the qualifications that, Timothy and Titus espouse as to what his family should look like. And they say, here's a guy who has giftings and has his family in order. He should be our pastor. And coming into the ministry through that same biblical organic process and Pastor Anthony as well, that's a huge encouragement and helps me to think very very intentionally about our future generations who are coming up and the opportunity to mentor other young men and encourage them in the faith, knowing that hopefully they'll be replacing us, you know, at some point in the future. Men we know, men we've poured into, like Paul did for Timothy and others.
And Anthony Uvino, any highlights in your years that you care to mention?
Sure. It was at Hope that I got to see my daughter be baptized by Pastor Jensen. So she came to faith, made a credible profession of faith, and now she helps out with the communion and all different types of stuff, setting things up. So she's there and stays every Sunday, you know, as long as she possibly can, and comes on Wednesday nights. Then me being able to see my brother come to faith, and I get the honor of baptizing him. You know, he was a tough nut to crack, but God doesn't try. He just does. So he came to faith, and he's walking with the Lord and has gone through, you know, several different difficult things, and has always told me, no, this is for my good and for God's glory. So obviously he gets what we're teaching him. And then finally, you know, well, not finally, one of the last things is to see my son come to faith and me get to baptize him as well. And again, he's starting to grow and ask more questions and seek out more theological positions. And he serves at the church as well. So, you know, to see my family come to know the Lord, and my mom and dad, we didn't baptize them in the church, but we baptized them in my pool in the backyard. So, you know, we've done a lot of dunking, going right under the water after credible professions of faith, of course. So to see that and see my family grow, and, you know, my nephews come every once in a while, my sister-in-law comes, my brother-in-law comes every once in a while, just praying that, you know, God would move on their minds and hearts as well. So those were several highlights. And then, you know, being called into ministry, like Pastor Chris said, by your peers, by, you know, the congregation, is just tremendous honor, which carries with it a tremendous responsibility. So to know that I was one of the men that they put forth as to be an elder is just an incredible honor. And then to be ordained with my brother, Pastor Chris, on the same day and go through that whole process and to see how that worked and how it turned out is just a huge blessing. I am tremendously blessed by eldering with Pastor Chris and Pastor Jensen. I learned so much from these guys, and it's just a blessing to be there.
And going back to you, Pastor Rich, one of the unique things about the Reformed faith is that we believe that no matter how dark a trial a church or a family or an individual may have to go through, we know that this occurrence and this trial has been decreed and ordained before the foundation of the world by God himself. I am sure, just like the testimony of every Reformed person I've ever spoken with will affirm, is that truth is one of the most magnificent things to cling to when you are oppressed by the pain and the sorrow and the grief and the anxiety and the sadness of whatever trial you may be experiencing may be, that God's going to get you through it because he is the one that decreed it. Would you confirm what I said? And can you mention anything that stands out as far as the life of Hope Reformed Baptist Church where this made itself very evident, this truth that I just mentioned?
Yes, of course, because it's the very character of God and who he is, you know, that he is sovereign, that everything stems from his decree, and the promise that he gives us in that for those who are his, all things will work out for the good. And if it wasn't for who God is, if you take away from the character of God, take away his attributes, and you know, as you were saying before, well, God's trying his best. He couldn't make those promises.
Right.
All right. And also, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know, there's no temptation that's overtaking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and with the temptation will make the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. It's promises such as those that get you through the darkest of times. Lord, you've got a reason why I'm in this misery, this dark period, and I trust you, and teach me while I'm in it, but get me out.
Okay.
And he doesn't have to try. He will bring you through it and cause all things to happen exactly as he wants them to happen. And we just have to be ready, willing, and able to learn from the experiences that he takes us through.
Now, was there anything specific in the life of Hope that made you reach a point where you were wondering, should I have planted this church? Are we going to make it through this issue? And so on, where the Lord really came through to seemingly rescue you out of a situation.
Yeah, there came a point when we, for a variety of reasons, the church congregation had shrunk. It was back when the real estate market had hit an all-time high back in the 90s, I think it was. And we had people leaving Long Island. We lost 13 families from the church, not for any reason where they didn't disagree with doctrine or practice or anything, but just moved off Long Island.
Yep, we had the same when I was at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. Of course, they were leaving because I was there, but there was a massive exodus to North Carolina and Georgia and other places down south, especially.
Yeah, and then couple that with, we did have a couple of issues right at that time. We had an excommunication, and some people didn't like the idea that we were having an excommunication. And, you know, I have to be honest, I think I prayed at that time, Lord, why now? And of course, the answer is because I said so. But what happened in that time, we wound up having a prayer meeting, a regular Wednesday evening prayer meeting. And the funds in the checking account were getting extremely low. We probably had enough money that if no more money came in, we could, maybe a month's worth of bills could be paid. And we had to seriously consider, could we keep the doors open? And so at that prayer meeting, which was small because the church was much smaller at that point, we just laid it on the line, Lord, it's up to you. We're going to keep this going. You called us to plant this church. I knew that. That was not even a question. And as long as we can continue to do it, we'll do it. We didn't set about any fundraising, any drives to, you know, no thermometers. We need X amount of dollars. Just pray, Lord, it's up to you. From that point, all of a sudden, we never failed to meet our budget. The Lord has blessed us financially. And at the same time, was bringing people in that we had no idea where they were even coming from. And it just made it clear to us that God was behind the work and that it was meant to continue. So that's, if that answers your question.
Yeah. Several of you, in fact, you, there's only several of you, three of you there. I think you all brought up church discipline. This is something that really stands out as a hallmark of Reformed Baptist church life, because in my experience, having been saved in the 80s and working in Christian media and meeting pastors and people in general from such a wide spectrum of theological thought within the evangelical realm, there are hardly any churches that are actually conducting church discipline. And if they are, it's usually because something is so extremely scandalous that were they not to do something, it would be an embarrassment to their congregation. But Pastor Rich, you were asked by my pastors at Grace Reformed Baptist Church to be one of those that was counseling and observing me when I was under church discipline, and I thank God for you for that. As I've mentioned a number of times on this show, I had backslidden about 13 to 15 years ago into scandalous levels of habitual drunkenness, and eventually went to a addiction recovery ministry in Boone, North Carolina, whose praises I will never stop singing, Hebron Colony in Boone, North Carolina. But this is something that is, like you were just saying before, there were people in the church that were upset that somebody was being excommunicated. Well, thank God I did not reach that point, because I was listening and obeying the counsel and instructions of my pastors. So I did not reach the point of excommunication. But this is supposed to be discipline and excommunication, not only first and foremost to honor, obey, and glorify God, and secondly to protect the flock, but it's also meant as an act of love to the one being disciplined. I mean, if I wasn't disciplined, I think that I would likely died from the level of alcohol I was consuming. So is this not something that is so overlooked by many Christians and even many pastors about this being an act of love? And of course, we can't forget that Reformed Baptists have an earned reputation for, in our midst, not that every pastor in church did this, but there has been abuse of authoritarianism and harsh discipline that exceeded the discipline you see in Scripture. But at the same time, this is an act of love, is it not, Pastor Rich? And we'll have the other two brethren comment as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, in one such circumstance, I wound up having a conversation with a pastor who had accepted somebody that had left our church under excommunication. And I just made him aware of the divisive nature of what the conduct was, etc. And I told him that, you know, he was under discipline. And he says, well, we would never, never do something like that. We're a loving congregation.
Wow.
And I just looked at him. I said, so you're more loving than Jesus? Because it was Jesus who said to do this. And I think it was, I think he had get another phone call at that point.
Yeah, and he says that because it didn't happen in his congregation, whatever it was, because something happened with enough severity that it was threatening to do harm, or was doing harm to him and his flock, they would have conducted church discipline and excommunication if it was warranted. Anything to say about this, Pastor Chris?
I mean, it was we, the reformers, who identified the three marks of a true church is the pure gospel being taught, you know, pure doctrine, the sacraments being issued, and church discipline being exercised. If you're going to have a true church, you have to have those things. Again, as Pastor Jensen mentioned, are you more loving than Christ? Matthew 18, the very words of Jesus, not that the rest of Scripture aren't also the words of Jesus, but he tells us, now, right after giving the parable of the lost sheep, this idea we have to pursue that one who goes astray, and this idea is reconciliation and restoration. He outlays what this one is to look like. And even in the opening chapters of Revelation, here Jesus in his glory is calling them to hold the body accountable, to deal with false teachers, to deal with those who are in sin. Again, it's consistent throughout the Scriptures that this needs to be done for all those reasons. It's to honor and glorify our God and Savior, our King. It's to protect the body and purify the church. And again, it is for the soul of that wayward one. And so to neglect it does great harm to all those. We bring reproach on the name of Christ, and how many times do we see this in those people who have big platforms, celebrity pastors or preachers who are scandalized and then trying to rush back into ministry because they're just, they're not expendable, apparently, and there's no humility there. And the church is boxed for it. How many churches, how many souls are collateral damage, as Pastor mentioned. So many times, if church discipline does have to be exercised, you lose people who they don't get it, they don't agree with it, and they go away. I'm grateful that the excommunication that I was around for not too long ago, we didn't lose anyone over it. It was done biblically. It was done with everyone's knowledge and understanding, public reproof, that people were praying and reaching out to this person, and we lost no one from it. But if you have a situation where you're not exercising church discipline, you're encouraging the flock in the wrong way, that sin is not that serious, and that Jesus sort of accepts you just that way, and there's no call to repentance. We lose the lordship, that we speak of.
And when we come back from our midway break, we'll have Anthony Uvinio chime in on that same issue. And we'll get to a couple of listener questions that are waiting to have their questions asked and answered. If you'd like to join them, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, The Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide monthly financial support for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, but on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether it's jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and keep in mind, Mother's Day will be here before you know it. Whether it is jewelry that they already have in stock, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry designed and created, like taking your church logo, or your parachurch ministry logo, or your denomination logo, or your seminary logo, or your business logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a breathtaking, mind-blowing, head-turning, stunning piece of jewelry. And I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over customizing jewelry. So whatever the case is, whether it's in stock or something customized, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. Please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guests, who are all three of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, I have some important reminders for you folks. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of your financial help. We lost one of our largest financial supporters. As many of you know who listen to this program regularly, there is a Christian bookstore that was providing the finest in Reformed Christian literature at the most reasonable prices to clients globally. And they very sadly, just a few months ago, went out of business permanently after 50 years of serving the body of Christ. And we lost an enormous source of income. So please help us replace and replenish that lost income. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now.
You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical mailing address, there's also a physical mailing address that will appear on your screen when you click support at Iron Trip and Zion Radio, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And keep in mind, folks, as urgently as I am pleading with you to help us financially, if you can, I never want anybody in my audience to ever give their own church less money than they normally give their church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Trip and Zion Radio. And in other words, please never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church to bless us. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless Iron Trip and Zion Radio. However, if you are blessed financially, above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please, if you love this show and don't want it to go off the air, share some of that money with us. Go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, like Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, I have helped listeners in my audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, as I just did very recently with a listener who wanted a church recommendation in a specific city in Mexico for his family. I found a confessional Reformed Baptist church right in that city. So no matter where you live, that could be you too. If you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question or to the three pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Before we go to some of our listener questions, Pastor Anthony, we were going to have you give your comments on the importance of church discipline.
Is that the goal of church discipline is restoration, to restore the person back to the body of Christ and bring harmony and peace between the two parties, or between the person and the congregation. In today's social media age, the quick response when somebody disagrees with you is to just hit a button, block them, and you know, move away. It's so much easier to separate than it is to draw together. But the scripture tells us to strive for the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. The church of Jesus Christ above all entities on the earth should learn how to lovingly forgive one another and move towards that goal of restoration. It's, again, so important because even in the body, when you break a bone and the bone heals stronger than when it broke, right? So the wound that has healed in the body ends up bringing people closer together, and it's a testimony to the strength of, not the strength, but the obedience to God's word that makes us whole. So it's so important to strive for that peace, because the rest of the world is seeking to cut and run. And I think it also has to deal with your understanding of what the word love means. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love doesn't mean that you let people do whatever they want if it makes them feel good. So we have to call sin what it is when it happens, and we have to call the person to repentance and back to common fellowship with everyone else. Think about the way the school system and the society 20, 30, 40 years ago started talking about how you can't spank your children. And if you spank your children, you're like a barbarian. Meanwhile, spanking your children is biblical when it's done correctly, and it lets them know that there's a sting and a penalty for sin. Well, all these kids who weren't spanked are now growing up and are part of churches, and of course you can't have church discipline because that'd be like spanking somebody, right? Again, not understanding the true goal of discipline is restoration and healing in the body of Christ. And when that happens, it's beautiful. You see two people who were at odds with one another now in communion with one another and celebrating God in the midst of it. So it's indispensable for the health of the church.
All right. We've got Lenny in Rocky Point, Long Island, who has a question. And Lenny says, how do you respond to the often repeated charge that Reformed Baptist is an oxymoron and there is no such thing? Let's start with Pastor Rich. I'm sure you've heard that, Pastor Rich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always try to respond in love, understanding where they're coming from, understanding that we believe that the Reformed Baptist position is the one that is truly Reformed, that the Paedo-Baptist understanding of Reformed and the covenant doesn't go far enough. And of course, then there's, you know, the idea that you can't find anywhere in the scripture any explicit reference to paedobaptism. And whereas on the other hand, credo baptism is all over the pages of it. It's just in black and white even. So.
Any comments, Chris?
Semper Reformando, right? That was the claim, always reforming, but then they stopped. So, I think, and this is, we have so much appreciation for our Paedo-Baptist brethren. I think that needs to be, mentioned at the outset. People joke about the 1689 as being like, copying off the Westminster, like in high school or something, copying off their tests and getting some of the answers wrong. And no, we corrected those answers. But if you understand, because we have brethren who we love dearly, who are consider themselves new covenant, and they don't hold to the 1689. They don't have the same view of the Ten Commandments that we do in the.
And unfortunately, Chris has frozen.
The Fourth Commandment, Sabbath. And they say, well, we like the first London Baptist Confession of Faith as opposed to the second. But I would, remind them, lovingly, graciously, teasingly, that the framers of the first London Baptist Confession wouldn't agree with them and their understanding. The first London Baptist Confession of Faith was trying to show their agreement with the Paedo-Baptists at the time using the best Paedo-Baptist confessions, 39 articles, the Irish Confession of Faith, and trying to say, we agree with you on so much. And they were sort of distinguishing themselves from the Anabaptists, which they put as their introductory remarks, distinguishing themselves from the Anabaptists in both confessions is what they were trying to do, because they agree with them on credo baptism, but they agree with their Paedo-Baptist brethren on pretty much everything else. And they were trying to show how lockstep they were with their brothers in Christ, but they disagreed with them on the issue of who's a proper candidate for baptism and who's in the covenant, and also on ecclesiology, church government. And so that's why the first London Baptist is framed the way it's framed. And then the 1689 is framed very similar to the Westminster, and also with influence from the Savoy, the Congregationalists, who were Paedo-Baptists, but had a different ecclesiology that was more similar to the Baptists. So we agree on so much, but what we have found, and again, love our Paedo Baptist brethren. I've had people who have been Reformed Baptists and moved into the Paedo Baptist camp. I sent my daughter to a Paedo Baptist college and community. And so we've had much study and much discussion on these issues, and really just doesn't hold up to the weight of Scripture. And so we would encourage them to continue looking at it. I think it's one of those traditions that carried over from the Romanist days. And one of the signs of that is you'll have Paedo Baptists argue for Paedo Baptism using different reasoning. Paedo Baptists don't all agree why they're baptizing their children, which means they're not getting it from Scripture. They're trying to piece it together themselves and put a framework together. So, yeah, we don't worry too much about people saying, oh, you're not really Reformed. Okay. we'll hold the title anyway, and we're okay with it.
I think I just found a debate candidate for my friend Keith Foskey, who's a First London Confession guy. And Anthony, do you have anything to add to that?
My two brothers covered that well. However, the same way I never saw the words God and try in the same sentence, I've never saw the words be baptized and then repent. It's always repent and be baptized. And if you reverse the order of those things, you may have a baptized baby who doesn't repent. If you're not calling them to faith and repentance, isn't faith the entrance into the new covenant? Again, our Paedo Baptist brothers would disagree. The entrance into the covenant is through baptism and then a profession of faith. But you're not really in the new covenant with Jesus as your intercessor and the forgiveness of sins. So it's repent and be baptized. I'm happy to follow the Scripture's order.
Yeah, one of the...
If I can just interject...
Sure, go ahead.
One final word. When you hold up the two positions next to each other, the Paedo Baptist position just doesn't hold water.
The odd thing about this, and I have very close, extremely close, Paedo Baptist brothers who are friends of mine, and one of which I know you all know, he absolutely refuses to call us Reformed Baptists, and he always calls us Calvinistic Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
The odd thing about that is you're taking a general term like Reformed, where there is legitimate reasons to have under that umbrella people with differences of different variety, and you're replacing it with the name of a specific individual who is a Paedo Baptist. So it makes less sense to call us Calvinistic Baptists than call us Reformed Baptists. I mean, it's just very odd. Very odd. We have Tommy in Walcott, Connecticut. And Tommy says, the biggest challenge to Calvinists that I always hear from those that oppose that system is that we make God the author of evil. How can we biblically explain that God does decree evil things, including the death of his own son through the execution on Calvary, without saying that he is the author of evil? And Pastor Rich, will start with you.
Well, that's the age-old question, you know. God, we use the analogy of first and second causes. God decrees what's going to happen, but at the same time, it's the free actions of the created beings that actually perform the evil. I think that's the simplest bottom line.
Yeah, so the misconception that Arminians and even many Calvinists have, sometimes Calvinists, perhaps those that are still young in the faith and relatively unlearned, they will seem to perpetuate the idea that man doesn't have a will. And that's not true. We believe that he freely and enthusiastically chooses to sin. He enjoys it. The issue is, what humans willingly come to Christ, and how, and why? And we believe that it's because their selfish hearts of stone have been removed and replaced with hearts of flesh, and then they willingly come to Christ, enthusiastically come to Christ. Do you other two men have anything to add to that about the charge against us that we're the ones that make God the author of evil because he decrees all things that happen?
I agree with the pastor. The 1689 chapter 3 talks about God's decree, talks about, as Pastor Jensen mentioned, the first and second causes, and offers scripture to demonstrate that. The scriptures plainly say that God, he doesn't actually tempt men to sin. In him there is no darkness. And so that's the end of the story. His decreeing things and man's doing thing of his own free will, that will is tied to his nature, but he's still the one doing it. God is not forcing him to do it. And, the totality of the scriptures bear that out. So.
Isn't it odd that they would balk at the fact that God permits evil, and had he not permitted evil, none of us would be here. That's number one. Number two, like R.C. Sproul says, it's radical corrupt. Total depravity is radical corruption. In other words, it stems from our root. It's rooted in our heart. So I like to say that we have a free will. We just don't have a good will. So we are going to freely choose out of the depravity of our own hearts. We're going to choose that which is self-centered. We're going to choose that which is against God. And even if we did choose something on the surface that looked like it was going in a godly direction, the next moment we'll change our minds. I am not counting my salvation on my love for God. I'm counting on his love for me. That's the only thing that doesn't fluctuate. That's the only thing that doesn't change, because God is immutable where man is mutable. We're fickle. We're gonna be tossed to and fro like the ocean, up and down on mood swings. That's not God.
Now, since God is restraining the evil of all men, including the reprobate, otherwise, if he was not restraining evil on this planet, not only would we not be safe walking outside the door of our home, we wouldn't even be safe in our own home if God was not restraining evil. So therefore, there are, by God's common grace, and I know that my Protestant Reform folks don't like that understanding, but because of the fact that God does have common grace even upon the reprobate, they are making good choices on occasion in their lives. They just can't savingly choose Christ because if they are still unregenerate, because those who are in the flesh cannot please God, as our scripture teaches. And therefore, you can't even believe savingly without being regenerate, because you're in the flesh, and that pleases God to believe savingly. Am I making sense?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think mankind has the capacity to choose evil, but the moral inability. In other words,
you mean
again,
to choose good?
They're broke.
Do you mean to choose good? He has the moral inability to choose good, you mean?
Right, right.
You said evil. Moral.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, he has the desire.
Has
yeah. So we have the capacity to choose to do good, but the moral inability. Again, that's what restrains us. That's why Jesus says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You have to be set free and changed on the inside in order to, you know, follow him diligently.
Yeah, the accusations seem to come to a standstill in social media when anti-Calvinists are hurling ugly insults at Calvinists for believing that God decrees evil. They seem to come to an abrupt halt when you say, so the betrayal and execution of Jesus Christ was something that happened by happenstance? God was just sitting back and hoping that Judas would betray Christ and hoping that Pontius Pilate would release, would release Christ and all that. Would condemn Christ, and that the Roman soldiers would nail him to that tree. Obviously, this didn't happen by happenstance. This was something that was ordained, every detail. And they don't have an answer for that, obviously, because they know, that that had to happen. Let's see here. We've got Lloyd in, Point Lookout, New York. Lloyd in Point Lookout, New York says, can you men honestly say things that you are disappointed over in regard to the Reformed movement at large? Pastor Rich, can you say anything that comes to mind where you know that the Reformed folks in the church at large could do better because we know better, in essence, because of our theologically being more biblically accurate, and you still see trends towards unbiblical thinking and behavior amongst the Reformed folks?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a Reformed Baptist, you still have enough of the old man left in you that you have a propensity to sin. And if you look at, you just look at some of the disputes between Reformed Baptists, you know, high profile people, where neither party looked very Christian in how they're dealing with their brother who is also a Reformed Baptist. That's going to happen anytime you have a group of people. There's going to be differences of opinion, and they're not always going to be handled right. And I would say, from my perspective, and I'm somewhat of a latecomer into Reformed Baptist anyway. I know it's over 30 years now, but still, that's still somewhat of a latecomer. But hearing about and seeing firsthand at some of the disputes that took place and then were aired publicly, it's been disappointing. In fact, my brother, Pastor Anthony, I love what he says. We hold to the doctrines of grace. We should never be outgraced by anybody else. And unfortunately, I think sometimes in the Reformed Baptist movement, egos get in the way, and there's harsh talk, and there could be a lot more grace. That's just off the top of my head.
Yeah, Chris, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is something Reformed Baptists have a monopoly on, as far as failing to live up to the standard we should. But I mean, we're Reformed Baptists, and we say we hold these doctrines, and our understanding of that is it's the most biblical position, and that's why we hold it. Obviously, if we thought we were wrong, we would change it. But the more light you have, the more responsibility you have. My concern is sometimes you have people who are Reformed, whether they are the Reformed or Reformed Baptist or whatever they are. by tradition rather than conviction. There's many people in Reformed churches of every stripe that don't actually know the doctrines that they are sitting under the teaching of and doing a well enough job of studying it themselves, owning it themselves, passing it on to their children themselves. So that's always a concern. I think that's concerning every church. And as Pastor mentioned, you know, how we interact with each other. You know, I'm not involved in social media like I used to be when I was younger. but it's very disappointing to see, you know, people who I would say are solid as far as like we hold the same doctrinal positions or very, very close, not exhibiting the grace that's supposed to transform us. And it's very, very unfortunate to see that division on display for the world. I mean, there's going to be disagreements, but there is godly ways to handle those disagreements. And boy, we need more grace in doing that. But I mean, just on a more molecular level, I remember one brother pointing out to me that, you know, as Reformed Baptists, because we have a different view of the covenant who's in it, we're not as unified as a body. I think, unfortunately, our Paedo Baptist brethren are just as guilty of that themselves at times, not being as unified as they should. But the point is still taken. Here in America, anyway, I think we're so used to viewing ourselves as individuals and pursuing our own goals and dreams and whatnot, that we don't think enough about that we are the body of Christ and we are the church militant, and we have this calling as the covenant people of Christ to be advancing his kingdom. And for that to be our top priority, that everything else sort of, you know, falls into place under, you know, what does Christ say? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. I think we need to do more in terms of understanding why we're here and living for the purposes of glorifying Christ, and recognizing our need for one another in that. I feel too many people are can be complacent. They're just comfortable with, they see their brothers and sisters, you know, once a week for a brief time, and they're content with that. And I think we shouldn't be that content with that lack of community that I think we ought to have.
And when we come back, we'll have Anthony Uvinio chime in with his thoughts on the same question. And don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvinio, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Dave Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
And folks, please never forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime dear friend and brother in Christ, Dan Buttafuoco, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind all men in ministry leadership, you're invited to my next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, featuring for the very first time as a keynote speaker, David Harrell, who is the author of a number of books, including the one whose theme David will be highlighting at the luncheon, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. This will be held on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And to register, just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Make sure you include your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. We hope to see you on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free biannual Pastor's Luncheon. And Anthony Uvinio, what gets under your skin the most about the Reformed movement in general?
I think it was Martin Luther who said, don't measure your own holiness by someone else's sin.
Right.
You know, we easily point out the areas in other people's doctrine or practices and things that they do that are wrong, but that doesn't make us holy. You can't build a reputation on what you're going to do, right? So you have to act charitably. You have to obey God yourself. So just the simple way that people point out other people's sins, thinking that that makes them better than someone else, is just wrong. It's arrogant, actually. So again, if it is a true brother in Christ, and they're out of line in their behavior, or they're out of line with their doctrine, it's up to us to gently go to that brother or sister and talk to them and draw closer to them rather than pull away. So again, it's easy to point out obvious sins and obvious false teaching, but that doesn't make you better than someone else. That doesn't make you holy.
So basically, pride and arrogance exists far too often amongst Reformed people. And we, amongst all Christians, are the ones that have at the very basis of our theology that man is to be humbled to the very dust of the ground, knowing mm-hmm. that we can't do anything apart from the kindness and grace and mercy of God, and that he is exalted above everything in the universe and heaven and earth. And yet we still have this arrogant notion on occasion that we're innately better than other people. Before we run out of time, Pastor Rich, I'd like you to summarize why people should pay a visit to Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island.
It's a place where you can glorify God. There's true biblical worship going on. And it's a place of love. And the truth is put forth. I always like to remind the congregation of the, I think it was Vance Havner who said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing.
Amen. And Chris McDowell?
You know what he said. It's been a blessing for us. My joy has been to see a church that I felt has been so biblical in its function, and I'm indebted to first and foremost Christ, but I'm really indebted to Pastor Jensen for seeking to faithfully follow the scriptures and to lead the church. I think God has used him, and so it's been a blessing for us. We've seen our girls get married and get engaged and get baptized, and there's been so many blessings. And so that the fellowship truly is beautiful. It's a joy to know that I don't have to go home and correct, you know, what was said over the pulpit or you know, Sunday school or something like that. I you know, that there's just unity in the truth that's being presented of the scriptures. And the scriptures are central. You know, we don't go for the pop culture stuff, whatever the newest fad is, whatever the hot book is. It's always back to the word, back to the word, back to the word. And if that's what you're looking for, that's what you're going to find.
And Pastor Anthony Venio.
Well, you know, if you're a fan of Brad Pitt, our pastor's a dead ringer fan. So, you know, I mean, that's the biggest attraction for a lot of people. So, but I'll leave it to what my other brothers just said. You can't add to that.
And I just want to personally thank all three of you and everybody in that congregation that I've come to know and love over the decades. I always consider Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island my home away from home, and it's always a joy to visit you. I'm looking forward with bated breath to be with you on Saturday, May 30th, for the 30th anniversary celebration of Hope Reformed Baptist Church. I can't wait for that. I want to thank you so much for your financial support of Iron Trip and Zion Radio. And your prayers and your encouragement, they mean more to me than I have the capability of expressing in the human language. Before I go, I just wanted to read a passage of Scripture for all of those who think it's evil and wicked for Christians to believe that God decrees evil things to occur. Since that was a major question earlier, when we go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we go to starting at verse 10, and what is happening is Nathan the prophet is revealing to David what an evil man he is regarding his adultery and murder of Uriah the Hittite and so on. He says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart," and this is God speaking through Nathan, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do these things before all Israel and under the sun." So I think that you, there you have it, very clearly spelled out. But brothers, I want to thank you again for being such wonderful guests. I look forward to your return to the show. Don't forget, folks, the website for Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coral, Long Island is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.